Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me. His blood will flow freely. It will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy. In the curse of a lifetime of sin, lovely illusions, they never come true. I know where there's a place of mercy for you. He said you could come into his presence without.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I tell that neighbor, I'm going to hold on. Come on. I'm going to hold on.
Thank you, God.
I'm going to hold on. No matter how it looks, I ain't gonna give up. The devil wants you to give up, but come on. Where are my folk who are gonna say, in spite of how it looks, I'm gonna hold on. Devil, hit me with your best shot, but I ain't gonna give up. I'm not gonna give in. I'm not gonna throw in the towel. Weeping may endure for a night, But if you hold on, tell that neighbor, joy comes in the morning. Oh, come on, don't act like you've got it all easy. Thank you, God. I'm going to hold on. Amen. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen and for what our ears have heard. We thank you for the precious anointing of your Holy Spirit. Now, God, we ask that you would consecrate our hearts and our minds toward this word that we will hear on today. And, Father, we believe by faith that through this word we will be made better, more like you. We thank you for the blessings we receive now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, choirs. God bless you, praise team. God bless you, people of God, as you are in the house of God on today. I'm so happy to see Sister Danage here. She's been through surgery and through physical therapy and rehab and all of that, but she's in the house of the Lord on today. We're happy to see her here. Also, Sister Taylor, amen. So happy to see her in the house on today. Amen. In the 107th number of the book of Psalms, there is a word from the Lord on today, the 107th number of the book of Psalms. Amen. There is a word from the Lord on today. For those of you who were with us in Bible study this past Wednesday night, we read an anonymous letter that we received, amen, in the mail. We shared some of that letter with you, and if you weren't here, you just missed it. And those of you who were here, don't tell the ones who weren't here what the letter, I'm just joking, amen. But we want to challenge you to make your way to our Wednesday night services. For we get a real blessing every Wednesday night. But the letter said in essence that upon visiting our church, the person, the individual who wrote the letter said that they didn't feel welcomed. Amen. And I challenged us on Wednesday night to make sure that we go above and beyond the call of duty to make everybody feel welcome in the house. Because guess what? It ain't our house. Amen. It's the Lord's house, and you ought to be so happy and so thankful that he let you up in here, that you ought to greet everybody with love and with kindness. And just so wonderful as I watched our usher, Sister Franklin, lead, amen, folk to their seat. That's what we do at Pleasant Hill. That's the kind of love that we show. But this message, it serves to remind us, amen, that none of us can get so holy, amen, that we look down on other people. That's what this sermon is all about today. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been rescued. Amen. Amen. This 107th number of Psalms, we'll read a few of the verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. I've been rescued. I've been rescued. Thank you, ushers. The question of the hour is, did God intend for the church to be a mission station or a clubhouse? Was it God's intention for the church to rescue those who would be eternally lost without it? Or did he intend for the church to be preoccupied with admitting those who hold common practices and beliefs as us? Did God intend for the church to major in helping people develop the discipline to stay focused on a kingdom agenda and empower them to carry it out? Or was his intention to establish the church as a clubhouse? Get us acclimated to the club, teach us how to move our way around the clubhouse until we become savvy enough to convince others that we now have enough tenure to make crucial decisions regarding clubhouse rules and regulations for behavior, and ultimately give us enough power to decide what to do with those who don't fit in. I must confess today that I am alarmingly concerned about our view of the church and Jesus' work in our lives. I am concerned that Jesus' work in our lives causes us to forget what we ought to remember. I mean, all of us come to Jesus to build through our relationship with him better lives than those we were living before we had a relationship with him. And all of us ought to be able to thank God that in Christ our lives are no longer the same. All of us ought to agree and with a cacophony of testimony declare that Jesus has made a difference in our lives. Can I get a witness this morning? And we measure the difference that Jesus has made in our lives by the calming of the waves of our previous activities, the silencing of the voice of the enemy that used to influence our decisions, shape our activities, our actions, and our attitudes. We know that Jesus has made a difference in our lives. We know what the transformative power of Christ feels like. We know that we are no longer the same person that we used to be. In fact, one of the reasons that we came to Jesus is because we knew that in doing so, we'd be introduced to another menu of life. Do I have a witness today? We knew that we'd be involved with and connected to other like-minded people whose stories are similar in transformation like ours. Part of the joy of being in the kingdom of God is that we now belong to a community of people who, when they share their story, when they tell their testimony, you can stop them mid-sentence and say, "I was right there with you. I know what you're talking about because he did it for me as well." It's great, my brothers and sisters, to be a part of a community where you know that if you were to conduct a survey, whatever seat in the sanctuary you happen to stop at, if you could get them to be honest, you'd find someone there who, because of their relationship with the Lord, has overcome a whole lot of stuff. Now, the modern church and the modern church member don't want you to think that they've had to overcome as much stuff as you have. Have y'all run into those kinds of Christians? The modern church member would rather have you believe that they dropped out of heaven with the halo that's on their head right now. But what the Bible shares is that all have sinned. Not y'all have sinned, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so for me at least, part of the joy of pastoring and being a part of the fellowship of believers is because I know that no matter what seat my survey stops on, that God has done for you similar stuff like he's done for me. It may not be exactly the same, but we were all sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard our despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. You don't have to take my word for it. That's the testimony of the whole Bible, that God rescued drunks like Noah, cowards like Abraham, tricksters like Jacob, murderers like Moses, cursers like Peter, adulterers like David, bigamists like Solomon, harlots like Rahab, doubters like Thomas, and betrayers like Judas. That's the testimony of the Bible, that Jesus' salvific demonstration was for sinners like you and I. And his church was never meant to be a hotel for the holy, but a hospital for sick folk. Well, I guess that if it's a hospital for sick folk and you're up in here, yeah, you look cute. Yeah, that dress, amen, looks real fine on you. That suit, amen, yeah, amen, all of that. Amen. But I guess that if you're up in here and if it ain't a hotel but a hospital, oh my, why are you looking down on anybody else? Oh, I ought to have a witness up in here. See, I've been in the church a long time, and I figured it out. I found out that the church really is a hospital. You know, the church has an emergency room. The church has a critical care unit. The church has an intensive care unit. The church has a psych ward. I don't know about you, but I've been on just about every floor. And Dr. Jesus said that as long as I take my medicine, study my word, pray and stay in fellowship with other believers, he said I'd be all right. Am I the only one in the hospital today who can thank God that we've in the right place at the right time, and we've got a physician that somebody said he's never lost a case? That tells me that no matter how low you've fallen, that tells me that no matter how bad your situation is, you ought to praise God that you got a specialist. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. You've got a doctor that's able to handle whatever your sickness is. So all of us who are saved and honest can testify that God has made a difference in our lives. If you're not too cool to care or too proud to participate, lean over and tell your neighbor, he's brought me from a mighty long. However, some of us have forgotten, amen, that never absent expectation of the kingdom, and that is that our hands remain dirt stained with the hard work of kingdom building and kingdom expansion. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that, yes, we're in the hospital, but God has recruited us even from the hospital to get our hands dirty, to get our clothes soiled, to go out and get some other sick folk in the hospital. We seem to forget that God doesn't want our noses to become so accustomed to the sweet smell of spiritual blessings and enjoyment that we are no longer able to function among the stench of difficult human relationships. Because guess what? Some of y'all are hard to get along with. Some of y'all, amen, are difficult. Oh, my. Y'all, amen. Some of y'all, it's hard, amen. I know he tells us to turn the other cheek, but every now and then, some of, hey, come on, I know I'm not by myself. We don't want to turn the other cheek. I just want to tell him off one last time. Just give him a piece of my mind one more again, amen. But you've heard me say before that that's why some of us stay in the psych ward, because every time somebody rubs us the wrong way, we want to give them a piece of our mind. And we've given away so many pieces of our mind that we ain't got no mind left. And so at some point in our walk with God, we've got to mature enough, we've got to grow up enough to not let folk rub us so wrong that we get on their level. Is there anybody here who understands that just because somebody cusses you out, you've got to grow up enough to where you ain't going to cuss them back? Just because somebody slaps you upside, well, amen. You got to learn how to pray for some folk. What are you talking about, Pat? Somebody prayed for you? Come on, how many of you would, you know, you wouldn't have made it if somebody hadn't been praying when you were in your foolishness, when you were doing what you wanted to do and acted the way you wanted to act, but thank God somebody was praying for you. And Pleasant Hill, I've come by to tell us today that we have to, as a church family, grow up enough to where we learn to pray for folk who don't treat us right, where we learn how to turn the other cheek and say, God bless you, amen, even to folk who don't like you, folk who don't, who will talk about you. And you've got to grow up enough to where you walk like Jesus walked and talk like Jesus talked. And don't act like just because you say that you don't track some dirt in here yourself. Don't forget from whence you've come and the way we've come. But once God works on us and kind of gets us presentable, we become intolerant of other people's struggles, so we force them to act healthy even though they're not healthy. We force behavior on them that the Lord hasn't grown them into yet. We want them to act sanctified. That's why I love Pleasant Hill. That's why I love the motto that God gave us. Amen. We're real people, striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Because I've been to a whole lot of churches where folk acting healthy. They acting like they don't have sugar diabetes in their spirit. They acting like they don't have anorexia in their spirit. They acting like they don't have high blood pressure in their spirit. But my brothers and sisters, until you come to the realization that you're sick, you're not going to look for a doctor. And so I've come by Pleasant Hill today to tell us that we've got to be real in this thing. Amen. Amen. I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not even everything I want to be. God knows when I read the word, I'm not everything I should be. But guess what? I ain't by myself. But can you give God a praise for not being all that you used to be? Come on, anybody able to say, I don't lie as much as I used to lie. I don't cuss as much as I've been walking with Jesus, and he's building up something in my heart and in my spirit. And one thing I know, one of these days, when he comes back again, I'll be like him. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So God, deliver me from folk who forget how long the Lord was patient with them. Amen. So are we a mission statement, a mission station, or a clubhouse? That's the question of the hour, and I think you already know the answer. We have to be careful how we relate to each other, what we become impatient and intolerant of in other folk, how we embrace and think about the criticism of other people. We have to remind ourselves that the only difference between us and them is that we were just rescued earlier than they were. And since our rescue came before someone else's, we ought to see it as a privilege to be used by God to help somebody else to be rescued from stuff that's crippling them, from mistakes that have injured them, from regrets that have haunted them, from people that have hurt them, and from pain that won't let them go. Every rescue station will have people who are bleeding. Now watch this, to differing degrees. How do we handle it? You handle it by keeping in remembrance a picture of the lifeline that pulled you to safety. Remember that we were rescued. I said, remember that we were rescued. My prayer is that this church will never become a clubhouse for certain kinds of people only. My prayer is that we'll always be a mission station, a whosoever will church, where the only one who does an admission interview is Jesus the Christ. And guess what he says when he interviews you? I paid it all. All to him I owe. I ought not have to push you to testify. Amen. I ought not have to pump you up and prod you to worship him. Because every time you think about the goodness of Jesus, every time you think about how he found you, how he rescued you. You ought to be excited enough to want to give him praise. The reason I accept those that others would not accept. The reason I'm patient with those that would drive other folk crazy is because when I think of where the Lord found me, I cannot help myself. Is there anybody here other than me who knows that the Lord forgave you of your sins? Is there anybody here other than me who knows that he helped you walk past your mistakes and then was long-suffering till you got it all together? Because if you knew me before Jesus found me, you would have seen a hot mess. But God has been patient with me. I said God has been forgiving of me. God been turning my stuff around. God has been opening doors for me. He's been making ways for me. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I can't help but cry out and say thank you, Jesus, for looking beyond my faults, for seeing my needs. I never will forget one time I was flying from Los Angeles, California. And on this particular occasion, I was flying on what they call standby. And if you've ever flown before, you know that when you fly standby, you don't have an assigned seat. But what the attendants will do, they will look at how full the flight is. And if it looks pretty open, they will go on and put you on a flight. And the attendant told me, she said, just sit down at any empty seat. And so I got on that plane, and the first empty seat I saw, I sat down. But it wasn't long that a man who was running late was running down the jetway. And he came with his ticket and looked at me. And he said, "This is my seat." Now, y'all know I can act crazy sometimes. But I knew that I shouldn't even have really been on that flight. I knew that I was just blessed, amen, to even be on the plane. So I didn't cut a fool. I just got my stuff and I moved on to the next empty seat. And y'all know what happened when I got to the next empty seat. Here comes somebody else looking at me and saying, "This is my seat." I didn't act crazy, bro Gaines. I just got on up and moved to another seat. I was just so glad to be on the plane. And I come by to tell somebody today that instead of looking down on somebody else, instead of hating on somebody else, just because they haven't gotten over a few things, just because they still have some issues in their life, instead of you sitting there judging them, you ought to just thank God that you're on the flight. Because if the truth would be told, all of us have got some issues. All of us have got some things that we ought to thank God that he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. Is there anybody here today that can thank God that he rescued you? How many of you can testify, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But thanks be to God." I said, thanks be to God. He threw me a lifeline. He picked me up and he turned me around.
He placed my feet on solid ground. Tell him thank you. Tell him